Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, one of the things, you know, J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate, also spoke at the rally at Madison Square Gardens last night. I think I've got a highlight from that. But one of the best clips of the weekend is J.D. Vance not putting up with any Adam Schiff from CNN's Jake Tapper. I mean, it's just amazing how the liberal media wants to focus on everything except for the issues that actually matter, right? I mean, they want to talk about, something that happened at Madison Square Gardens over 100 years ago. They want to talk about, you know, made up fake news hit pieces against Donald J. Trump. That's, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to run with these fake news hit pieces 9 days before an election, which is exactly what the liberal media in Montana has been doing as well. They simply want to run with the made-up hit pieces against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, and they still refuse to call out flip-flop, flat-top liberal Senator John Tester. But look as J.D. Vance fires right back at CNN's Jake Tapper.
Listen to this. J.D. Vance tries to steer CNN's Jake Tapper towards the issues Americans really care about during this very fiery interview yesterday. Watch this.
But this is the thing, Jake. We've now spent 5 minutes talking about people in Donald Trump's staff
who think he's not fit for office.
He fired.
Who think he's not fit for office.
Oh, they didn't think he was unfit for office until they had a falling out with him because he fired them. And we're not talking about the public policy.
Well, we're actually
talk about how Americans can't afford groceries.
We're actually talking about
the fact that Americans can't afford the cost of housing.
He makes it look easy, doesn't he? Well, J.D. Vance did say, and you can find this from the Trump War Room on X, J.D. Vance did say that he's got the easiest job in America right now.
Now, my friends, I've got the easiest job in American politics. Think about this. All I've got to do is remind people what life was like when Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. We had peace. We had prosperity. Take-home pay was rising the fastest that it had in 40 years. Inflation was at 1.5%, the lowest that it had been in a generation. Gas and groceries were affordable. And when Donald Trump was president, we had the most secure border in the history of this country. That's the Donald Trump record, and that's a record that's going to win in just 9 short days.
All right, that was J.D. Vance at this massive rally at Madison Square Gardens in New York City last night. President Trump himself breaks it down in about 10 seconds. All he needs is about 10 seconds to break it down.
On issue after issue, Kamala broke it, but I will fix it. We're going to fix it.
Kamala broke it, but I will fix it. There you go. All right, we're going to get to your business news. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with your business news and much more coming up right after this.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
It feels like I'm on repeat, on a loop, talking about how close this presidential race is. Our latest Fox News survey shows more examples. Just like in 2020, early voting continues to favor the Democrats and Election Day voters, the Republicans. Over half of early voters say they support Kamala Harris, while a majority of those planning to cast their ballot November 5th back Donald Trump. Another example. The race is tied among voters living in the subset of counties where it was really close in 2020, where the margin was less than 10 points between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. In those areas, Harris and Trump get 49% each. And when asked which candidate would protect free speech and whom would fight for people like you, it's a toss-up. Overall, the survey shows a 2-point race nationally, Trump 50%, Harris 48%. Well within the margin of error and too close to know who will win. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some developing clouds around the area today, we'll also see some showers possible, maybe late this afternoon. High temperature readings will stay from around 47 degrees in the Bozeman area to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, looking at some rain showers, turning to snow shower chances in Bozeman, with lows in the upper 20s, lows near 40 expected in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, the story has now gotten national news attention. Many in the Montana media completely ignored the story, but you heard it first right here with Montana Talks. We reported it at MontanaTalks.com. A Democrat Party operative has now been fired after being caught on camera tampering with a ballot drop box in Glacier County, Montana. You heard it first. MontanaTalks.com. Make sure you get the Montana Talks app on your smartphone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we always like to start out with the good news when we chat with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. We're going to have more good news around 7:40 this morning. Adam Gilbertson with RDO Equipment and a representative from Knife River are going to be in studio with us talking about a really cool program that they just unveiled in Belgrade, Montana, for disabled veterans. That's going to be a really cool conversation coming up around 7:40. Evelyn Pyburn, always great to have you on the show. You got a batch of good news in the hot sheet this morning.
Yes, we have lots of good news, and probably the biggest news is a credit to everybody listening in Billings, Montana. Billings is the 19th hardest working city in the United States, according to Wallet Hub. Billings ranks among the top 20 hardest working cities in a study that encompassed 116 of the most populated cities. It had a high employment rate of almost 96% and the largest share of workers with multiple jobs, about 9%. Now maybe some people don't consider that all that much good news, you know, all that hard work, but Billings finished 30th of the cities studied in direct work factors and 14th in indirect work factors. And with a total score of 68.18 in the overall ranking of 19th. So, you know, good job, all you hardworking Montanans and Billingsites.
Well, so, and that kind of ties in with the unemployment numbers as a whole. I know the governor's office, Governor Greg Gianforte's office, has been continuing to tout the fact that Montana's unemployment numbers just continue to show record low unemployment numbers. I think Montana's unemployment was 3.3% in September, still below the national rate of 4.1%. And so, obviously, you know, the governor appreciates the continued positive economic news that not only Montana is seeing, but really red states are seeing over most of the blue states in America as well.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing. Montana right now has the largest working force it's ever had. So, and I don't think anybody has trouble finding a job out there. We see those signs everywhere. You know, people are looking for more workers. So it's still booming in Montana.
Still booming, yeah. And, yeah, although you know, finding a job that maybe has the high wages could still be a challenge in some industries. I think of our Stillwater miners in particular right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to compete with those mining jobs, and so. Some other kind of good news here. When it comes to outdoor access, Montana, number one.
Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody living here. And that is apparently one of the things drawing a lot of the newcomers to Montana is the outdoor activities that are available. Smile Hub did this study that considered three key factors: outdoor activity access, economic impact and job opportunities and environmental quality. And Montana gained high marks across all three categories, including second in the nation for outdoor activity access and seventh for economic impact. So, again, that's probably not news. You know, I mean, to be number one is news, but that it's out there and everybody here enjoys it is not big news. We've been doing that for years. So, and then another report, not long ago, the Montana Chamber of Commerce asked the public to submit nominations for the coolest things made in Montana. It was a contest to highlight the contribution of Montana manufacturers. And now the chamber has announced the winners from some 60 nominations they got. And they named winners in two categories, small business and large business. And the winners are Rattlesnake Cable Company in Missoula and Nomad Global Communication Systems in Columbia Falls. Rattlesnake Cable employs four people, and they make reliable and durable stage and studio cables for musicians. And Nomad Global Communications employs like 400 people, and they make cutting-edge connected mobile operations centers for defense, public safety, emergency operations, and telco organizations worldwide. And they also make this tactical command vehicle that is designed with satellite and cellular connectivity and has high ground clearance, and it has a software, Nomad Total Command software, that allows the vehicle to be managed and to communicate and operate kind of like a one vehicle safety and command center.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's, yeah, this mobile vehicle command center. I just drove past their headquarters there in Columbia Falls when I made the trip through Columbia Falls about a 3 weeks or so ago. And then I noticed it looks like they also have an operation in Libby, Montana as well. Because when I was driving through Libby, I saw, you know, the signs for Nomad GCS. Yeah, I first got to know about that company, Gull, almost 20 years ago or so. They were doing some work. They were just, I think, just getting these, you know, mobile command vehicles up and running. Pretty impressive. All right, you can find that and more in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. More to follow as we talk with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. The global population rate, Evelyn says it is shrinking, or at least not growing as much as they thought it would, in a big way. Stand by.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Donald Trump spent 3 hours talking to Joe Rogan on his insanely popular podcast, and this was a coup for the former president because in the past, Rogan has refused to have him on. But it was a very sympathetic interview. 11 million views in just 13 hours, and that's on YouTube alone. Now, at one point, Trump was saying, well, before I got into politics, you know, I got a lot of publicity anyway. I don't know why that is. And Rogan said, because you said a lot of wild blank. And then CNN and all their brilliance highlighting your wild blank made you much more popular. Rogan also saying that the media, to a large extent, act as a propaganda arm for the Democratic Party. Now, Kamala Harris also wanted to appear with Rogan, whose audience is mostly men, mostly young men, but apparently was turned down. So Rogan likes Trump better than we would have realized. And Trump, 3 hours, 6 hours, the guy can go forever. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some developing clouds around the area today, we'll also see some showers possible, maybe late this afternoon. High temperature readings will stay from around 47 degrees in the Bozeman area to the mid-50s in Billings. For tonight, looking at some rain showers turning to snow shower chances in Bozeman, with lows in the upper 20s, lows near 40 expected in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
It'll be the last full week before the November election, so you know we're going to have some phone lines open for you so that you get a chance to be heard all across Montana. We'll make sure we do that in the week ahead. Plus, coming up on Monday, we're going to have a quick visit by the U.S. Navy crew from the USS Billings. That'll be Monday, plus time for your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk the last full week before the election. We take it statewide, 9 to 10, Monday through Friday.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Corn farmers may face their toughest year in nearly two decades with crop prices at an unprofitably low level, according to the Federal Reserve. Despite strong gains in the livestock sector, crop prices, particularly for corn and soybeans, have dropped significantly due to global oversupply and high input costs. Corn prices fell to below $4 per bushel recently, down from over $7 in recent years, while soybeans dropped from $13 to $10. Although USDA revised its 2024 farm income decline to just 4% compared to a projected 26%, the crop sector remains weak amid droughts and hurricane damage. Farmer sentiment nationwide has plummeted, with many concerned about market and trade conditions. However, some farmers have sustained themselves by building liquidity from previous strong income years, and the 2025 futures market hints at more stable crop prices and incomes ahead. And this past Friday at the public auction yards, Billings, Montana, over 3,300 head of cattle sold. Feeder calves under 450 pounds showed stronger prices. Heavier steers were steady. The 5 to 5.5 weight steers priced at $297 to $321, 5.5 to 6 weights $241 to $259, while heifers weighing 5.5 to 600 pounds $2.50 to $2.67. I'm Lane Northlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, hey, if you got something you want to talk about coming up after the Fox News update at 7:30, we'll try to sneak in a call or two. 406-294-0970 if you want to get in the queue right now. In the meantime, though, let's go back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, you were telling me you've been doing some research on the global population rate. We just heard about, you know, global ag markets there with Lane Nordlund's Farm and Ranch Report. But what are you reading when it comes to global population?
Well, apparently the population rate is falling about a third faster than what most analysts have been predicting, according to an article in the Financial Times. While the UN predicts that the world population will peak in 2084 at 10.3 billion people, the Institute of Health predicts it will peak at 9.7 billion in 2064, 20 years earlier. The article says that they keep underestimating the rate of decline in births. And in Colombia, for example, birth rates have fallen 22%. And in South Korea and Chile, they have charts, and these charts of population, they're kind of downward trending, and then all of a sudden it's just a perpendicular line going down in terms of how the birth rate's dropping. And if the numbers hold true, then according to at least one environmental report, and it discusses other environmental reports, that means that the carbon dioxide emissions will be less than the climate theorists are predicting. And I don't know yet. I guess whether or not a world population declining in any other regard is good or bad, but I know that from past research and understanding of how populations impact the way we live, that as a country or an area gets richer, the population does decline. And it's not really a new trend, but apparently it's speeding up. And it's something that, from other things I read, it's kind of like what the Bill Gates of the world are hoping for. They want to see fewer people existing in order to save the planet.
But then meantime, some nations around the world, even in China, they're kind of freaking out now because they instituted drastic population control measures. And now they're freaking out because they're worried about what it's going to mean for the future of their country by not having enough people. Yeah, very interesting stuff. Before we run out of time, you were telling me about this is kind of a random story, but interesting nonetheless. This is a story we didn't get to last week, but the idea of the neighborhood store, the corner store, seems like it's become something of the past, but it's starting to come back again across the country where maybe they might start allowing more neighborhood grocery stores. What's the story there?
Yeah, as different communities across the country deal with the housing problems and everything, and they're adjusting their regulatory land use zoning and so forth, they're changing laws so that cities can once again have a little commercial enterprise amid neighborhoods, you know, like the little grocery store in the corner and maybe a little cafe. But numerous states, and they went into some great extent about Spokane doing this. And it just seems like this is a thing that's trending back, and as these regulations are relaxed, and the changes, I mean, it's hopefully Montana is going to do some adjusting of our regulations, and maybe we'll see this come back, because I think it was always kind of a nice thing to be able to run down to the neighborhood grocery store and grab a couple things. And
although anymore, the gas stations have kind of become that. The gas stations are practically grocery stores in themselves. They got everything inside of there. All right. Well, one more thing. We got about 30 seconds before we got to run the Fox News update. Are you hearing a lot of people voting early for the first time, friends that you talk to that are voting early for the first time ever?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's just most people I encounter have already voted, so I think it's and most of them, you know, seem to be Republican leaning, but you know, that might be, you know, just kind of a fluke of who I encounter and stuff, but.
Well, you run into a lot of business people, a lot of people, you know, a lot of common sense people. So there's kind of a common sense path this election. It's probably more clear.
Fox News.
All right, into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. We've got Steve in Ballantyne on the phone lines. Steve, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Okay, I just want to let everyone know on absentee ballots, okay, the instructions say it on there at least twice. I think it's twice. Do not use anything but an ink pen. It says blue or black. Don't use a pen. Don't use anything but an ink pen, okay? It says it right on there. And make sure you sign it. And I'm just going to say that if you're in a rural community, and you got to flip up that little red flag when you put it in your mailbox, I suggest don't do that. Take it to wherever you got to take it and hand deliver it. Do not put a little red flag up. I just don't even do it. The way the Democrats are going right now, if they're out in the rural and they see red flags up, you know what? That means that there's something in there that needs to be picked up, period.
Well, it's getting really close. I mean, with some of the challenges that the Postal Service has been having, where
exactly.
I would just encourage people, go fill that ballot out, go drop it off in person if you can, get it in, the sooner the better. You never know what can happen, you know, a week from tomorrow, right?
Right. And then another thing, I do know two people that are thinking of, do not split your ballot. Don't do it. They're thinking about not voting for Sheehy. Don't do it. Vote Republican all the way down the ticket. Don't do anything but Republican, period.
Not just in the big Senate race, but all the way down the ticket, the legislative races. I mean, legislative Democrats have proven that they are the climate alarmists. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy, if you heard that clip in the 6 o'clock hour, he talked about climatism, wokeism, transgenderism. The legislative Democrats have embraced all of those crazy isms. And so if you think that Kamala Harris is too woke, too radical for America, well, John Tester is right in line with her. And so are these legislative Democrat candidates as well.
Exactly. So they pulled these shenanigans. They've taken stuff out of the box, out of your mailboxes. They've across the country, oh, here, use this Sharpie and do your ballot. They do all they can to keep that from getting into the system. So I'm just saying, and don't split the vote. Don't even think about it.
All right.
So that's all I have to say.
Okay, so, Steve, thanks for the call. Yeah, hey, speaking of that, that reminds me, the Washington Examiner had a piece late last week. The Department of Justice is being asked to investigate possible tampering of Montana ballot drop box. So the National Republican Senatorial Committee has been asking the Department of Justice to investigate the actions of a Democrat operative here in Montana who was caught on camera tampering with the ballot drop box. That story is at the Washington Examiner, if you haven't seen it. I don't think there was any mention of that in the liberal Montana media, of course.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in another phone call here. We've got Gary in Billings on the phone line. This is almost like a Monday feature. Gary is going to tell us what the liberal media is talking about over the weekend. Gary, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
I'm called a Gary reporter, okay?
That's right. Gary, we'll come up with an update for it. You know, like Joe Rogan has the Joe Rogan experience. I don't know. We'll come up with a catchy theme for it here.
Just call it GGH, okay? That's my handle.
Okay, sounds good.
Anyway, this kind of goes along with your reporting about John Tester funding all these different departments. Well, of course, you know, sometimes when I'm bored, I don't even want to read it, but sometimes I have to go in and see what the lion Tester is doing. So these articles in the paper, there's probably maybe 10 that'll come on the great things that John Tester has done, doing, and it's just so blatant that these people I call misinformed, and they need to get the head out of their butt and turn on your show.
Well, I'll guarantee you, most of these letters to the editor, Gary, you know, I hope it's reassuring for you, because I know you probably pull up the liberal newspaper and you see all these letters to the editor. Most of it is AstroTurf. I mean, I don't know if that's breaking news to anybody else, but most of this, they're form letters. They're written by the Democrat Party. They're written by Democrat Party operatives. They're written by the Tester campaign, and they send them out to party loyalists. Then the party loyalists attach their name to it. And so, again, let not your heart be troubled by the spin that you see coming from the liberal media. And when you get out there and talk with everyday Americans, I think everyday Montanans have simply had it. The polling at least appears to indicate that Montanans have had it with Kamala Harris and John Tester and crew as well. But we'll find out a week from tomorrow. Well, hopefully we'll find out a week from tomorrow. Why did election night turn into election week in so many parts of America, right? Well, Gary, thanks for the call. All right, let's see. We're supposed to have a couple of guests here in studio with us. I thought that was right now, but I may be mistaken on my calendar. But in the meantime here, did you guys see Hulk Hogan at the Trump rally at Madison Square Gardens last night? I tell you, you know, I've mentioned this before. I did not watch WWF as a kid. I know some of you are angry. What do you mean you didn't watch WWF when you were a kid? I didn't watch WWF when I was a kid. I had friends who really loved WWF. They thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, I'll stick with, you know, baseball and football and other things, or real wrestling, as my uncle Big Dave would call it. He was a state heavyweight wrestling champ in Montana back in 1980. So he'd always complain about the fake wrestling. But I got to tell you what, man, Hulk Hogan at the Trump rally last night was freaking awesome.
Well, let me tell you something, Trumpomaniac. Welcome to the house that Hulkamania built. You know something? Usually when I'm in Madison Square Garden, I'm body slamming giants. I'm winning world heavyweight titles, and I'm cracking people over the heads with steel chairs. And the energy in Madison Square Garden is off the Richter scale. But today, Trumpomaniacs, the energy in here is something like I've never felt. The energy of all these Trumpomaniacs is the most powerful force in the universe. And today, this is Donald Trump's house, brother.
Oh, man. I tell you what, absolutely entertaining to see Hulk Hogan at the Madison Square Gardens. And he had a Trump Vance 2024 tank top on and his classic yellow sunglasses on and the do-rag to go with it and everything else. What a show. What a show. Meanwhile, the Democrats, like Kamala Harris, kept promising everybody, and the media made it sound like Beyonce was going to sing at one of her rallies. And people got ticked. Beyonce never even performed at the rally, so all these people showed up to see Beyonce, and then they got duped into just listening to Kamala Harris, and they were mad. I mean, it sounded like they were about to start rioting at the Kamala Harris rally because they didn't go there to hear Kamala misspeak for an entire speech. They went there to hear Beyonce, and they didn't even get to hear Beyonce perform. It's crazy. All right, well, let's get into some really cool news here. Governor Greg Gianforte and the Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner Sarah Swanson announcing a new pilot program to hire and train veterans with disabilities to operate heavy construction equipment from a remote and accessible location. This is a really cool deal here. We've got Adam Gilbertson, a senior vice president for field technology and innovation with RDO Equipment, in the house. Adam, good to see you, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Great to see you. Great to be here this morning.
Man, when we were in Whitefish for the Montana Equipment Dealers Association annual meeting, you're a past president of that association. I think Sarah Swanson announced this from the podium, a really cool deal that you're starting up in Belgrade, Montana.
Yeah, you know, we've been working on this process for a couple of years, but really, as technology comes into the construction industry, there's some really unique opportunities to open up the jobs to people that maybe couldn't get them before. If they can't get up in a tractor or spend all day working in a piece of equipment, there's technology now that's available that allows them to do that. And the state of Montana and Governor Gianforte and Commissioner Swanson have stepped up and helped Knife River to put two disabled vets into a pilot project this year at their Belgrade pit, which is right off the airport there in Belgrade, Montana. So great location for it. But the machines are up and running. We're in the process of sourcing right now. You know, one of the crazy things and probably important, but makes it challenging for something like this. Medical privacy laws don't allow us to use the system, if you will, to help a veteran who's not looking for a job. If they are looking for a job and they've worked with the VA or they've worked with the state, yeah, by all means. But if they haven't said, hey, you know, I might have an interest in this, we don't have a way to reach them. And so, you know, the ask coming on here and talking to you this morning is, can we get the word out to veterans that are living in that community, anywhere from Three Forks to Livingston, that might have an interest in construction equipment operation that's got a disability that's a veteran? We're looking for you and would love to have you come and join us.
It's so cool. I was just driving past that gravel pit and looked over and I was like, man, there could be a disabled veteran, wounded veteran sitting right there or somewhere else operating this construction equipment remotely. Would they work on the site but remote control operating the equipment, or could they work from anywhere?
Yeah, this first phase of the pilot, the command center is right there on site, so they can run it there. But on Friday when we did the announcement, we were running one of the machines from California. So
really?
So it can be anywhere eventually. But, obviously, as we're working on the first pilot here, making sure that we've got safety and all those things in place, the operators will be right on site. But the technology enables them to be just about anywhere in the country.
I just ran into a fellow veteran. And, of course, Adam Gilbertson is an Iraq War veteran, Army infantry veteran. And it's so cool to have guys like you in positions like you're in a senior position for a big construction company, equipment dealer like RDO, that can say, hey, wait a minute, what if we did this and we integrated, you know, disabled veterans into something like that? You fill a critical need in the industry, which is you just need more people to help fill a lot of these jobs. But then, hey, why don't we let some of these, you know, veterans who want to get back to work, give them an opportunity to get back to work in a way that still fits their disability?
Yeah, you know, I shared on Friday that one of the big reasons, this has been a couple-year process to get this into fruition, but one of the reasons that we really stayed with it is we know what that world looks like for vets. Had the opportunity to serve with 168 of the country's greatest in Iraq. Two didn't come home with us. We lost two to suicide once they got home, and there's a half dozen that their lives are forever changed because of injuries sustained in combat. And it was important to me that we create these opportunities, and in the industry we're in, there's some incredible work that can be done, some work that really gives meaning to life and that matters in building the country. And being able to kind of tie that passion for veterans with some of this great new technology that's coming in the industry was pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Your work doesn't define you. Your work is, you aren't identified based off of your work and what you do for a living, but still having a mission, having a sense of here's what I'm going to do today, just being active is so rewarding. And so this gives a great opportunity. All right, Adam Gilbertson, hold that thought. We'll take a quick break here on Montana Talks, and we'll talk more about this big announcement in Belgrade this past Friday.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. So much of your personal info is out of your control, like your insurance provider that has your social security number and your favorite retailer that has your payment details. If they get breached, your information, your identity, is vulnerable. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Fox News commentary.
A woke doctor refused to publish a $10 million taxpayer-funded study on trans puberty blockers because she didn't like the results. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Joanna Olsen Kennedy, one of the biggest proponents for trans hormone intervention and care, is trying to bury a $10 million taxpayer-funded study on puberty blockers because the findings don't suit her crusade. This NIH taxpayer-funded study followed the mental health journey of 95 subjects with an average age of 11 who had received puberty-blocking drugs. 2 years into the study, there was no evidence these drugs improved their mental health. And that's precisely why Dr. Olsen Kennedy doesn't want you to know about it. In fact, she flat-out admitted the findings would discourage the use of these puberty blockers, and that's what concerns her. But this is nonsense. The American public has a right to know the long-term implications of these drugs, and the fact trans advocates want this study hidden is quite frankly chilling. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all know the story, or at least we think we do. I'm speaking of the Great Recession, the downturn in 2008 and 2009 that took us so long to recover from. It was those stupid builders. They built too many homes. Places like Kalispell and Big Sky and the Bitterroot Valley. And then prices crashed and no one was buying anything. Everyone still calls it the housing bubble. Better to call it a housing credit bubble. The spectacular collapse of companies like Lehman Brothers exposed the huge risks that had built up over years of super loose credit standards for mortgages. And the sudden tightening of credit standards that followed were toxic to growth across the entire economy. Based on what has happened since, it's clear that we weren't building too much housing after all. Housing prices, as we all know, pushed right past those so-called bubble highs. There were more sellers than buyers in the years after 2008, yes, but it was because demand cratered, not because we had too many homes. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Use my name as your promo code, Clay.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, Adam Gillison, describe the technology that would be used. It's offering disabled veterans opportunities to work in the construction industry to operate heavy construction equipment from a remote and accessible location. Describe the technology that would be used here, or specifically what you outlined in Belgrade recently.
Yeah, you know, a couple of partners, one really well-known, one not so well-known in this that makes it possible. The really well-known one is a partner we've been working with for about 54 years. Their name is John Deere and Company. Brought this opportunity together for us a couple of years ago. This startup organization called Telio is a supervised remote autonomy company, a startup company, if you will. And they were in what's called a technology accelerator program with John Deere. So they pick about 9 or 10 companies every year that are kind of interesting in the space that they work in. And they come alongside the engineering group. They spend a lot of time down at headquarters in Moline. And the engineers kind of collaborate together on these different technologies. And so Telio was a part of that in 2020. And I got a phone call from one of the leaders at John Deere, said, we've got an organization we really want you to meet. There's some interesting things going on here. And so they introduced us to the CEO of Telio, and kind of an interesting story. These two guys, they started at Google. They built Street View. So they were the hardware and the software gurus behind Street View. And then they moved over to Lyft, and they worked in their autonomous car division doing hardware and software. And then about six, seven years ago, they decided to go out on their own and come into the construction industry. So they built this technology that allows, you know, basically an operator to come off of the machine, sit in a command center somewhere, and have the same type of controls, although with this disability focused. You know, the neat thing about technology is, say we've got an operator that is missing a leg or has an arm that's not functional, they can alter the technology to allow controlling to happen in a different way than you normally would right there in the command station. So it can be tailored, if you will, to the disability they're dealing with.
That's very cool. I see that I've got a photo here of Governor Greg Gianforte operating one of Knife River's loaders remotely. It's funny because it looks like he's playing a video game, and I've never would think of Governor Gianforte as a gamer, but it looks like he's, you know, playing a video game here, but he's actually operating one of their loaders.
He is, and I'll tell you what, there's always some anxiety the first time you get behind the stick, if you will, right? And I got to tell you, the governor did a great job. He was up and running, and that machine wasn't just out sitting on the side moving some dirt. It was actually actively loading the hoppers at the quarry. So this was part of the production cycle, and the governor did a great job running it on Friday.
It looks like, so if there is a disabled veteran out there who's saying, you know what, yeah, I'd love to just have a job. I just want to work. There is a joy in work, and I want to get back on the job, and this sounds like a great opportunity here. Looks like they can go to jobs.kniferiver.net to ask about this particular opportunity.
Yep. They can apply for the machine operator role in the Belgrade location and make an application there. And we are looking for two, so make sure you know this is a two-operator pilot we're running for the next 12 months with the hope that it all goes well. And the other neat thing about this, Sarah Swanson, our Commissioner of Labor, is very rapidly put an apprenticeship registration behind this project. Well, the neat thing about that, when it comes to disabled vets, is it allows them to start to access some of their GI Bill if they've got to do some extra transportation.
That's
if
right.
They got to buy some extra equipment. It allows them to utilize that. And so Sarah's put that together for us in a real
so
quick
you could
hurry.
Do the job, get paid to do the job, and leverage your GI Bill for
all
additional training. Apply it towards an apprenticeship. Now you rack and stack that. Wow, this is incredible. Well, Adam Gilbertson, great work. Commissioner Swanson, great job, both of you. What a team.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right, thanks for your time. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, we've got the phone lines open for you. Lots of big stories to talk about here. 8 days until Election Day, 406-294-0970.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Although changing jobs can boost your salary, it can also put a dent in your retirement savings. The majority of people who change jobs wind up putting less of their pay into their 401ks, according to new research from Vanguard Group. That's because many people who change jobs either forget to sign up for their new 401k plan or get auto-enrolled at a lower savings rate. According to Vanguard, over a four-decade career, that means as much as $300,000 less in retirement wealth for someone with average pay. Financial advisors recommend that people start saving money in 401k accounts early in their careers and increase their savings rate as they get annual raises until reaching 12 to 15% of pay. Unfortunately, when leaving jobs, many workers also break into their old 401ks, while others roll that money into an individual retirement account but forget to invest it. So if you're changing jobs, don't forget to delve deep into your new employer's 401k plan. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. Maybe you